Welcome to the show, folks. I'm sorry, we were engaged in conversation prior to the show. Kind of lost track of time there. Anyway, welcome to the show. As I said, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And once again, we are coming to you live from down the hall. Nick is still on the battle bridge. The main bridge is literally in pieces. But we're going to be here and wherever it takes to bring this show to you, that's where we'll be. All right. So once again, welcome to the show. Just because we're down the hall, that doesn't mean you can't take advantage of calling my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, who supports the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio, which lays in pieces right now. But my dentist, of course, his number is 407-678-3399. As I said, Nick LoCicero is on the battle bridge. We do have the regular phone lines back up and running. So once again, you can be a part of the show by giving us a call at 407-774-8255. And we got a special treat for you today because we have our resident Bible scholar in studio with us, and that'd be Rachel Cohen. Rachel, thanks for being back on the show.
Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We always learn a lot of stuff. And speaking of learning a lot of stuff, a man with a head full of knowledge, of course, is the chairman of the board, the union boss himself. Got some big news out of the federal courts today, but
that's true. We will talk about that, the Brady situation. But before we get into that, Chris, I want to reflect on some of the things that we've always talked about, our bumper stickers and our T-shirts.
Yeah,
well, the Hillary for Prison 2016, and then underneath it, it says, Or sooner. Well, I think we should remove the 2016 because I think sooner's coming in quicker. Now, we've come up with another T-shirt because, you know, Wild Joe Crazy Biden's entering, probably will enter the race. I figure he's waiting to either see if she gets indicted or whatever, right? So we got to think of something for him. And I think this would be the most appropriate T-shirt we could come up with. Is don't act stupid. We have Joe Biden for that. Now, don't you think that would be a real neat T-shirt and have like Alfred E. Newman's picture there? You know, what me worry?
Yeah, right.
And but I think, you know, Hillary for Prison 2016 and don't act stupid. We have Joe Biden for that. I think these would be a winning combination and maybe a split T-shirt, one on the front and one on the back.
I think we need to get a hold of Scott Miller and tell him to whip up.
We'll get him started. I want the trademark on that one, you know.
Absolutely.
But it's quite appropriate, that's for sure.
One other thing, I just want to throw this in because, you know, we talk about Bill Clinton and sometimes we sound like we're a little angry to him and everything.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I mean, the reality of it is that Bill Clinton gave Hillary some good news today.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He told her that Nelson Mandela actually went to jail before he became president.
So there's still hope no matter what, right? you can do some federal time and still come out and be president.
The big house for Hillary, you know.
I think we got something in the Constitution, though, that says that, of course, she can always get a pardon from Obama, right?
She's going to need to be pardoned. Well, she needs to go in real quick then to get a pardon, right?
Absolutely.
Hopefully we can help her out with that.
Well, there was much more bad news, speaking of Hillary Clinton today, because a fellow by the name of, I believe it's Jake Pagliano. Wait, hold on a second. I've got all their names. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's Brian Pagliano. Today, Cheryl Mills and Jake Sullivan were invited, quote unquote, to speak to the Select Committee on Benghazi. In other words, they spoke today. They had been invited prior. They call it an invitation.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
All right. They also extended an invitation. And by the way, that was in private, which, why?
Yeah.
Why was it in private?
It should be in public record, put it on TV.
You would think, you know, Trey Gowdy, you know, investigating this over there. Anyway, it supposedly happened today. I presume we'll find out something at least about what they had to say. But there was another fellow that this is the more important part of the story. His name is Brian Pagliano. Brian Pagliano worked on Hillary's campaign in 2008 and was subsequently hired to set up the server, the personal private server her house. He declined the invitation today to testify in private before the committee. And his lawyer wrote the committee a letter saying that we decline your invitation. Thank you very much. And, oh, by the way, if he is subpoenaed to testify, he is prepared to claim the fifth.
I mean, if I were him, I'd probably drink a fifth. Because, hey, buddy, how does that look? And, you know, the other thing that concerns me is his last name.
Pagliano.
I know nothing, I say nothing, I know no one.
Hear no evil, speak no evil, yeah. Right? Well, evidently he is smart enough, whether it has anything to do with his background or not, he is smart enough to know that he is right in the middle of something that he would probably prefer not to be in the middle of. Now, once again, anytime a Republican claims the fifth, what do we all presume?
Guilt.
Exactly.
Right.
So it, I think, would be safe to presume that there is something going on here, like Lois Lerner. Now, she claimed the fifth, right?
Chris, is waterboarding out? I mean, how do we get
for
this
now?
How do we get the information?
Wish it were in.
Yeah, for now it's out.
Yeah.
By the way, old Ben Carson has said that he would do anything to get information. But
I like that.
I do too.
Yeah. But Brian Pagliano is his name is going to become foremost in this investigation, of course, because of the server and the fact that he doesn't want to talk about it. So what? You know, would be the question would be what would he have known or could possibly be involved in that would be in any way put him in any sort of legal jeopardy? I mean, all he did was set up a server.
Well, we know what he really knows, but my question would be I'd like to see his bank account.
Well,
right.
All of a sudden it grows and grows and grows, and all of a sudden I plead the fifth.
Yeah, well.
You know, but that looks. Oh, come on, Hillary, just resign and you know, maybe take off to Australia or something.
Well, but anyway, Brian Pagliano, remember that name because we should be hearing a lot more about it. I kind of doubt you're going to hear much at all about it though on the mainstream media tonight. But once again, that's why you
listen
to this
story,
show.
Though, I mean, that is you talk about an indicting type story. I mean, that is just massive.
Well,
we'll see it on Fox. I can assure you that.
Yeah, they'll be doing something about it. One American News Network.
One American News, which is my new favorite channel.
But it's very important because obviously he's right in the middle of all of this email controversy, and for him to claim the Fifth Amendment to testify privately in front of a select committee does mean anybody that didn't think that there was a smoking gun before, well, if this isn't smoking, you can certainly smell the gunpowder. All right. And it stinks. And so Brian Pagliano is going to be right in the thick of this thing. And we'll see where it goes.
Maybe we'll have Big Louie visit him. See if we can get some information or something, you know, because this I mean, this is, we got to do what's right for the American people, you know, and he just says, well, I'm not going to test, and that's it, and he goes on his way.
Boy, yeah, Big Louie.
That's a great justice system.
Louisville slugger. All right, speaking of sluggers, Donald Trump was up to bat today and appeared to hit some home runs. First and foremost, he made news because he has signed the pledge. To support whoever is nominated in the Republican Party. And, of course, the twist on this for him is if the other guys sign it, then presumably if he gets the nomination, they'll be on the hook to support him, whether they like him or not.
And I think that's a good trade-off for him.
I do, too. You know,
in some ways. But I can see the negative, too.
Well, you know.
Which we'll talk about. Yeah.
If he could have held on. But evidently there are states out there that have already, if not changed the rules this year, the rules are set up that – I believe it was North Carolina requires you to have such a pledge to participate, be on the ballot in their primary.
Okay.
Yeah, so evidently he saw some perhaps unnecessarily troubling waters ahead. The man's riding high. New polls out today. Every one of them shows him up and up big, double-digit leads all across the board. And so, you know, my thinking is – He used the leverage, in his opinion, as long as he could, and then he got what he could out of it, and now he
And I'll tell you what else, Chris.
Puts them on the spot.
Just the press conference itself, if you saw it today, I turned it on, and this was great. He did an outstanding job. Again, it was everything we talked about, enthusiasm, excitement, everybody around him. I mean, the guy puts on a show, and you're just about riveted watching it because you don't know what he'll do, which makes it extremely entertaining. But he also does what we've both mentioned. He's simple and right to the point, and he emphasizes the same things time in and time out. And that's why I just think he's going to explode forward, not go in reverse like all the Washington I don't want to say intellects. I guess the people live up there.
Intelligent.
I never associate intellect with Washington. I just go, well, the people live up there.
The self-proclaimed intelligentsia. But you also mentioned prior to the show that he looked very presidential.
Oh, he did. And I mean, the guy, he's and then, you know, he's going to get smoother and smoother and smoother because he's going to be doing so much. And no matter what he's done in the past, he's never publicly spoken this much in front of so many people and been aware of so many things, and he learns quickly. And it was great. And I told you, I had two friends of mine who are doctors call me up. They said, did you see that? And I said, yeah, he was outstanding. He's not like our president, the human depressant. You know, every right. time I hear Obama, you know, I figure, oh, my God, am I depressed? This guy, you're all pumped up. And I said, let's go outside and play some football.
Yep. He has a command of everything he speaks about. He never hesitates to answer. He never stammers. He never stutters. He doesn't need any kind of projector to tell him what to say. Right. He just says what he feels and what he knows. And people appreciate the off the cuff. Because they know they're getting exactly what he's saying is what they're going to get.
You know, it's off the cuff, but it's not off the cuff. It's like Mike said. I mean, he's got these ideals and these principles, if you will, this strategy, if you will, that he goes back to over and over and over again. But you're right. He does not use a teleprompter at all. He said in an interview or something the other night, maybe it was one of his speeches off the cuff, where he said he thinks that they shouldn't be allowed in the presidential election. And I think he's right.
I love it because that'll show you what you will speak from your heart.
Certainly.
And, you know.
Let's just say it'll separate the people who are really smart from the people who aren't because it'll be obvious right away.
Right.
You know, if a fella can't stand there and talk to you without reading something, he ain't much of an intellect. Let's just put it that way. And no, we do not use a script here.
Hillary speaks from her posterior. You know?
Oh, Lord. Oh. But, yes. She'll have to deal with that in prison, let me tell you. The polls, as I said, they're all strongly, once again, in Trump's favor. Once again, Ben Carson is trailing him, but in second place. And then you have Cruz in the thick of things. Fiorina's in the thick of things. And Jeb, once again, is sliding. Rubio's kind of just treading water. But most of the establishment candidates are sliding. One thing, though, that did turn up today on Breitbart about Ben Carson, and I want to look into this a little bit more before I really am committal on this, but evidently he has said at some point that he favors amnesty for immigrants who are already here. So we'll look into that, and we shall see. If so, you can expect him to turn around pretty quick.
Chris, one other thing during that questioning period, though, you know, somebody, I was trying to think, they were talking, on Bush's case, what they were saying is, you know, he said, you know what, I really sort of like Bush. He says this right in, he said, I like the guy, he's not a bad guy in anything because he was diffusing what's coming, and he said that, you know, let's face it, the guy's getting tens of millions from all these different groups, and I don't take money from groups. And what he was getting across was that he knows this is coming. He's going to defuse it. And he said, and poor Jeb, he said, nice guy, but, you know, he's going to have to say what they want. I mean, not really. You talk about diffusing, sticking it right to the guy. That was great.
Not only that, but he said he was kind of pitiful or something like that.
But
he made him into a sympathetic figure.
Yeah.
And because it was announced today, and already Jeb is producing commercials on the internet, and you'll see him on TV soon, I'm sure, you know, about Donald Trump and things he's said in the past. And you'll see Donald Trump say these things in the past, some of them as long as 30 or 40 years ago when he's a very, very young man.
I know. I love the pictures. He looks like he's in college or something. Well, you know what he said then? Wait a second. He's 28. I said a lot of things at 28 I wouldn't say now.
I was going to say, exactly.
Or the reverse.
Me
right.
too.
All right, but we'll take a break. When we come back, we got a whole lot more to say. Last night, we looked at the world if Trump were president. Tonight, we're going to sort of look at the world as it is with Obama as president. All right?
Human depression.
Ooh. We won't depress you, though. We'll be back. to B.O. That's right. The dancing queen himself, as designated by Mike McBath.
Chris, we got to refresh some of our audience. Remember how this came about. You know, during that horrendous period of time when ISIS,
they burned,
right?
That
they lit up those poor people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a real man, the king of Jordan, right?
Yeah.
This is a guy, he is truly the warrior king. That's his label. You know, he was a fighter pilot. He was, special forces. And now, then we're thinking, wow, what would our guy do? And then I'm thinking, obviously nothing. And, Mike, what type of military training does he have? Nothing. Do you think he's mentally superior? And I'm thinking, well, he smoked pot all through college, and that's a loss of 8 percentage points. So if you go from 8 percentage points, he goes from average to less than average, it's probably the dancing queen. So I think most of our audience has adapted that.
Jordan gets the warrior king, we get the dancing queen.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. Of course, he's up in Alaska wrapping up his wilderness trip.
It is. Yeah. Mr. Did you hear him, though, the day he was talking about global warming, how the temperature is going to rise between 5 to 10 degrees? And, like, he knows.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? I mean, is that – I wonder, do you think he believes this stuff in all seriousness? Do you really think he believes it? I think it's a fundraiser, but what do you think?
I don't think that he really knows or cares. I think that the Democrats, now if they, the smart ones do understand what John Casey talks about on our show, what even some of the global warming predictors
say,
and that is that our Earth works on sort of a thermostat.
It's a secular.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It goes, the temperature goes up, it goes down. It goes up, it goes down. Sometimes it goes up more, sometimes it goes down a little bit more. But it always stays within a range. But if you are a political party that can somehow figure out how to take this naturally occurring cycle, make it seem bad and out of the ordinary, then blame it on human beings, then you have a tried and true, long-lasting political issue that you can go back to time and time again.
A fundraiser.
Basically,
that's
yes.
It. Yeah, right. You know,
right.
In other words, just get a scriptwriter from Hollywood.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Yeah.
All that in politics, we say this on the show over and over again, perception is reality. Facts don't matter if the perception is contrary to them.
Did he get out with Bear Grylls?
I don't know.
He's supposed to go out with that macho guy, Bear Grylls. You can imagine Bear Grylls when he opens his door and he sees this guy in person, goes, what? Well, where are we going? To the spa? No, you're supposed to go out into the wild. Oh, I thought we were going to the spa with this guy.
Last night we talked about, as I said, a world where Donald Trump were president. I think we saw a little bit of that today, a man who actually looks like a president. Now, we get the dancing queen. And we gave him that moniker because the King of Jordan did respond to his pilot being burned alive. Now, ISIS, the Islamic State, has come up with a new technique. Mike was filling us in.
This was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. They took those four people, and that's why I don't understand what we're doing as human beings. They tied them upside down where, their face and their chest and everything was about four feet off the ground.
Their hands and legs were tied
like
behind them.
Then what they did, they put a whole row of powder down right where their body and face was, and then they lit it till they just burned to death, burned right through their face and their body. Now, how could you as a human being allow this to go on? Every type of atrocity in the world is being committed there. They thought it was rough during with the Nazi era. This is beyond the pale. These are such savages, and we can stop it. But you know what? No one wants to do anything including the Republicans or anybody. They all sit there, and I know we don't want to have our people. But you know what? I think you could clean that group out very quickly. And if you did it, remember a year or so ago when they were like 5,000 or 6,000, it's like a boil that just keeps festering.
It is.
And it's getting uglier and uglier.
It's so disgusting. These people are not really even human. They lack the propensity for even being graced to breathe. And I say just blow them off the planet. I have no mercy on the merciless.
That's how it's ultimately going to have to be dealt with, unfortunately. And as Mike was saying, the problem's getting worse. It's not going to get better, and it's only going to get worse, isn't it?
Of course it's going to get worse, because nobody is stopping them from doing anything. And every time they do something like this, they get another hoorah from a bunch of other barbarians that want to join something like this. It's just insanity.
That's why we need somebody big and bold and bad to be president of the United States, not one of these run-of-the-mill politicians who are going to give us the same old nonsense, just refried. All right, that's going to do it for the first half hour of the first hour of the show, but we've got another hour and a half to go, so please stay with us with the American Adversary.
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. And one thing I pretty well guarantee is that you're not going to hear a repeat of what you hear on Michael Medved on this show. That's pretty much so. Pretty assured, at least on most points. That's one reason why you listen to AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5, because you do get great diversity of the conservative viewpoint. All right. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Once again, we're in the alternate studio down the hall. Nick LoCicero is on the battle bridge, but the phone lines are up and running just as good as always. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm in the studio here with Mike McBath and Rachel Cohen. Rachel is a Bible scholar. She studied over in Israel. She studied the ancient texts and scrolls.
Yep.
And so we are talking about Obama's world, the world that the next president is going to have to deal with. And one of the things that the next president is going to have to deal with is the deal or the arrangement or the agreement or whatever it happens to be with the Iranians, because it is now a done deal. We've talked about how it got here, but here we are. So, Rachel, tell us about it.
Well, it's a terrible deal, regardless of what. Even a good deal with Iran is a bad deal because they're not trustworthy. You can't deal with somebody that lies, and they are known for telling people that they're going to show something when they don't. They have all these leeway as well, that if they do have an inspection, and you all know all this, and so does your listeners. Right. There's like a 3-day, then a 28-day, and then they don't even have to adhere to that.
Right, exactly.
The bottom line is, with all of this uranium and plutonium, I actually worked with physicists at MIT that have been, one of them that I traveled with on lecture tours, Dr. Gerald Schroeder. Well, he was on 6 detonated atomic bombs. He was the scientist on ground. 3 grams, maybe even 2 grams, that vented out of the Reina Mesa in the Nevada desert made the mountain turn into a bowl of jello. Now, I'm not hearing this from reading it in a book. I worked with this man who was on site, not secondhand and not written. He saw it, and we're letting them have centrifuges and have... They have 2 electric plugs over there that they need to plug in. Forget all these power plants that they're supposedly building. This is to go against Israel. Israel will have to do a preemptive strike, and then the world will go against Israel. And I've said this before. When Obama said Israel has the right to defend herself, he was given the clarion call that she will have to, because we won't. And that is what that means. Israel will stand alone. And well, she'll have to.
Rachel, you know, under the contract or whatever this is, we're actually supposed to defend Iran. Now, if Israel comes after them, we're supposed to defend them, right?
Yes. Isn't that insane?
I mean, I don't know how any congressperson could ever accept anything like this.
But I love it. Contract. That's a con, all right, because it doesn't even make any sense. We're going to be in bed with our enemies.
And you can't even really say it's a contract, because neither party is going to sign it.
No.
Would
that,
you?
That was revealed.
No,
of course not. But you would think that Obama would make a big celebration out of it. But But once again, the next president is going to be left with this. And what you're saying there is beginning to dawn on some other people. And that is the fact that now there's going to be a great deal of pressure on Israel to launch a preemptive strike.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't lessen the pressure on them. It intensifies. There's a story in the Washington Times today. I'm going to quote from it. A group of former top military officials and intelligence analysts released a news report Wednesday saying that the nuclear deal with Iran will threaten American interests and increase the probability of military conflict in the Middle East. So when we first started doing this show, when Mike first started listening to us 5 years ago now, mm-hmm. This Sunday, I said that there are a certain number of what I call perverse rules of politics. And the first perverse rule of politics is most solutions make the problem worse.
Of course.
And I certainly think that this one fits in that category.
Yeah. And every day you see a little abuses. So you imagine what's going to happen when it's really official. And it was like today they again talked about North Korea now working with Iran.
Oh, absolutely.
In sophisticating their ICBM missiles. And those missiles aren't being sophisticated and professionalized to take a regular warhead. They will be armed to hit the United States. And I do wish, based upon what Rachel said, I wish that if I was the Republicans, I would show some of these horrifying effects of nuclear war to the American public, and especially, I would do that on Fox. So they really realize that these people will be liquidated
exactly.
The minute this happens.
Not only that, but images like that was on the front of the Wall Street Journal today. Did you happen to see the picture on the front of the Wall Street Journal? This was on some of the news shows this morning. It's of a Greek soldier or National Guardsman or Coast Guardsman, whatever, carrying the lifeless body of a little, like, 3 or 4 year old boy out of the surf.
Right,
where
from
they had found
immigration.
It, yeah, where they had found it floating in the surf, because all of these people are fleeing Syria and the Middle East. And this is part, tell me if I'm wrong, Rachel, but this is part of their plan, too, is to drive not only Christians, but other Muslims out of the Middle East into the Western nations, not only just to free up the Middle East for them, territorially speaking, but then to put pressure on the Western governments to have to take care of these poor souls.
It's so obvious. When you say it like that, it's crystal clear. Watching what's going on, they're thinning out their own herd and making us take care of the herd that they've thinned.
Right.
And we're so...
generous.
Yes.
And gullible.
Stupid.
Stupido, right.
Yes.
This is a global problem. Obama has made it tremendously worse, if not outright caused it with, encouraging the Arab Spring and all of that nonsense, saying Assad had to go, pulling our troops out of Iraq. Whether you wanted them there or not, it was a bad idea to pull them out. We now see why. Right. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. And this is the world that Obama has created that he's going to walk away and leave to the next president.
And Valerie Jarrett is the quag behind all of this. She is a very big part and parcel of what's going on. That's the Iranian tug into the White House, partially.
Yeah. And her connections, of course, with Iran go back
certainly
to her childhood days.
Do you think she'll move back once the administration's over? Probably will, because actually life there will be a lot better than it will be here in the United States with $150 billion coming in, right?
Yep.
I would bet she's just dying to get back over there and get herself genitally mutilated.
Oh,
well,
my God.
But she'll probably actually get an award or something. I mean,
that's going to be her award.
In $150 billion, happy I'd be to see you. And then she could be recognized for what she is. She'll probably get like the Iranian Peace Award or something.
Yeah, but once again, though, this sets into motion things that, if you will, are on a biblical scale.
They are
they not?
They're absolutely on a biblical scale. We're watching it come full circle. Whether or not you believe the biblical text is playing out in front of us, because all eyes are on the Middle East. Like it was in the text, it is today. But now we have technology, we have newspaper, we have
atomic weapons.
Before, everybody said every generation says it's the last generation. But technologically now, it's not just wars within boundaries. It's international, and there's going to be, like Mike said about Korea, they're selling. Believe me, they're ready for Iranian. They're going to give Iran those missiles.
Well, they were involved with the, you know, Israel bombed Syria.
Yep.
And North Korea was the one involved with putting up the factory, and Iran was also involved with that. So there's your two people.
Yep.
And thank God Israel knocked that one out, but the reality of it is, I don't know what Israel is going to do other than a preemptive strike.
They're going to have to.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. So
that's biblical, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I think I'm going to cancel my trip over there in January. I don't
Don't.
No, please don't. And by the way, if you would like to go in January,
actually, I know,
Vacation Travel Planners.
I thought that was actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
I know, I saw that.
Vacation Travel Planners will get you a 10-day guided tour of the Holy Land. And the package, including the flight to was it Newark trip was? Anyway, the whole round trip package will only cost you about $3,000.
Really, that's very inexpensive. Anyway,
it is. I may do that too. I'm going next. Cynthia, my historian, just went last week. She just flew back yesterday. But we're going back and forth. But I may do that January through your travel agent.
Yeah, Mary Lee will be in tomorrow night, so I'll make sure she tells you folks about that. But also, you can certainly go with us on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise as we depart November 13th for the Caribbean, whichever way you like to say it. Going to do a little Bahamian shakedown.
Oh, yeah.
Going out
Chris
there.
Knows. I've been on like 15 cruises. So that in the NFL, they used to give their former players cruises. And what happened is when the players are supposed to fly down here to get them, well, some of them canceled a day or so before. So they call me up and go, Mike, do you think you can make it to the all expense paid free cruise through the entire Caribbean for a week? Yeah, I think I can. I think I did 15, and I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, he was in the parking lot when the call came.
I know. But I will say you couldn't have a better treat. And anybody who's never been on a cruise, I can't believe how inexpensive they are priced. You know, relative. We were figuring out the other day, Chris, you could just about stay in a cruise, have all your meals, everything, and just use virtually no money. You could be on a poverty level and go on some of these cruises.
People live on them.
Yeah.
That's what we found out from Mary Lee. I wasn't aware of that.
You might gain a lot of weight, though, when the eight meals a day, you know, that's a little bit tough. But there's tougher things in life.
Yeah, that's where the fast fork beats the slow thyroid.
Indeed. Indeed. Speaking of sailing, guess who showed up in the Bering Sea?
Oh boy! Here we go.
And I'm not talking about the crabbing boats, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the five Chinese warships.
First time in modern history, Chinese warships have shown up in the Bering Sea.
What a slap in the face of the United States! Here's our dancing queen up there, right? They know the joke's up there, so they send five ships up there.
And by
do you think they have any respect at all?
These were three warships, one amphibious ship,
right
to put troops on the
ground. That's what
exactly,
that means.
And a support vehicle, with, of course, extra food and fuel. So in other words, this is a, if you will, training operation of a real deal. Military maneuver.
Plus, they're doing joint training. This was the second joint training exercise with the Russians, and their excuse was, well, we're working together because of the energy relationship we're going to have. Well, wait a second. Energy relationship, North Pole, maybe our property. They're building their bases there, and we're actually reducing. Do you think there's any common sense to that at all? And I'm telling you, the American public, that's why I go Trump, go Cruz, go Farina, go Carson. I mean, enough is enough with what's going on. And the lives of all of us are jeopardized every day.
Every day.
Every day by these bozos.
Well, let me ask you something, Rachel. How much difference do you think it would make if we had a president who projected a very strong, let's say a Trump-like image as opposed to a Jeb Bush image? How much difference would that make amongst our adversaries?
A huge difference, because nobody fears weakness. Who fears weakness? The whole problem with what we have now is there is no factor of retaliation. Everything is talk of peace. We've got somebody who won the Nobel Peace Prize. I can't even see his college transcripts. Well, I mean, seriously, you're winning awards. Let me see what's... I don't want wishbone. I want backbone. And I think that's what most people are looking for. We have nobody that will stand up in this administration and fight. We have flight. And you know where that gets us. It gets us down on the ground. This is why we have warships out. That doesn't even... We're starting to deplete our armed forces while they're building theirs up. We're becoming weaker and weaker by the day.
Right. I mean, you know, but again, that's the character of the guy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's been a quitter all his life. He was a guy, going back to the article, remember the May 4th article, the last article published by
Newsweek.
Was it Newsweek? I couldn't believe the apology they gave for being a supporter of Obama, and they virtually just pushed it across saying this guy was nothing like he was presented. He was a total weakling intellectually, academically, everything, and he was never a leader. Well, no kidding. We know that 7 years later. Thanks for telling us.
I mean, but there was nothing to begin with. What was this? What was the whole hope and change?
Well, that's just it.
Well, he changed.
Well, once again, we talked about this on the show before, and we're going to have to take a break here in a second. But he projected, if you will, a positive message, hope. Change for the better.
Those are words, but
I understand. But in politics, perception is reality. The perception was he would deliver. And what Mike is saying is people are figuring out that he didn't really deliver. All right. And so what we're looking for is someone who can deliver.
Uh-huh.
And that's what that's the Trump appeal. Mm-hmm. He's proven he can deliver. And it's for some people, you might look at it as a roll of dice. Yeah, but can we say anything more about any of the other candidates?
I love Trump.
Yeah, didn't it turn out now to be a roll of the dice to put a bunch of conservatives in the Congress just to see them act like a bunch of doggone Democrats?
Yep. Listen, names carry weight. Trump. Look at the name. I'm serious. There is some psychological thing. Yeah. Look at Elliot Spitzer. Look at Anthony Weiner. Need I say any more?
Trump as president would make the United States cool again.
Imagine that. Like you're describing the difference between Trump and Obama. Well, son, Trump made billions of dollars. He was extremely effective in every area that he ever dealt in, and he was organized. Well, what was Mr. Obama? Well, he failed the law boards. What do you mean he failed the law boards? I thought he went to Harvard Law School. He failed the law board, son. Look at that. How can you fail the law boards and go to Harvard?
And he wasn't even very good at basketball. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of this conversation. And you can join us as well at 407-774-8255.
Like on I-4, we've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
From Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center, it's getting a lot heavier on I-4. Eastbound on the brakes from the turnpike now up to 436 for about 30 minutes plus. Westbound I-4, heavy from Fairbanks to Cayley, and then slow John Young Parkway to the turnpike and past 192. East Colonial Drive is now back open at Chuliota Road from an earlier building fire. 417 slow northbound from Lee Vista Boulevard up to Colonial, and on the 408 eastbound, you're heavy from Pine Hills over to I-4. I'm Mick Dolan with Answer Traffic from the Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center.
Have you been looking to purchase or sell your custom classic antique performance or muscle car? You'll be happy to know that the premier classic car consignment shop in Florida is in your backyard. Just Toys Classic Cars is just 10 minutes away from Orlando International Airport and SeaWorld in Southwest Orlando. 20,000 square feet of unbelievable classic cars, amazing machines, and memories. Just Toys Classic Cars doesn't just sell cars, they restore memories. You remember the feel and the sound. down to that beauty you had. They'll make it a reality again. You owe it to yourself to visit Just Toys Classic Cars, 11350 Space Boulevard, or call Just Toys Classic Cars at 407-251-7335 and visit them on the web at JustToysClassicCars.com. Just Toys Classic Cars. Come in today to buy or consign your classic car with the premier classic car consignment shop in Florida, Just Toys Classic Cars.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. Little China girl, the Chinese are in the Bering Sea, and I don't think they're up there looking for those, you know, Alaskan crab boats.
You know who we could send? China from WWE Wrestling. Remember that girl that was on steroids?
Oh, yeah,
remember her? What a beast, man. We could send her up. You see those people hop off the ship and into water and swim home.
Speaking of beasts, I just got this from Nostradamus. We were talking about Valerie Jarrett, you know, going back over there. And then I said, anyway, he says, maybe Valerie Jarrett will get a reverse Caitlyn and become an imam. She wants to go from being a mom to an imam. Thank you, Dr. Dennis.
What a sick person.
I'm telling you. Just like the rest of us around here. All right, let's, with the exception of Rachel. Rachel Cohen's with us in the studio. Ed is on the line. Cynthia's on the line. We'll get to all the phone calls, but let's take Ed first. Ed, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there, sir.
Yeah, man. Hey, talking about the Republicans, all those that are following Itchy McDonald and Obeyner Jr., all those Republicans that follow him, which is most in the Congress, that's why they're the lowest of all times in Congress, 10% approval ratings, are actually undocumented Democrats. That's why they're hated by the Republicans and the Democratic Party, because they're undocumented Democrats.
Dave, that's great.
Socialists, and socialists are undocumented Marxists. And most of the people that are teaching our children in college today are full-blown Marxists.
Well, you know, you're pretty much right. I studied Marxism in college myself, 2 years under a Marxist professor, so I would understand it and see what all the hoopla was about. But you're right. It's ubiquitous. And you're
people are waking up. There are more people finally that are registered or independent registered rather than being registered for the Republicans or the Democrats. Because the Republicans, the people are waking up. The Republicans and the Democrat establishment are in bed together. Yep. And they're playing like they're a two-party system, but they aren't. They're a one-party system. Wake up, America. Down with the Republicans. Up with liberty.
Hey, Ed, let me ask you one question. Would you, if you walk into the ballot box, right, you see a Democrat and Republican, you don't like either one, then you see the word libertarian. Out of curiosity, would you pull that ballot out of the fault?
For Donald Trump?
No, just anybody. I'm just curious.
He's asking, would you vote for a libertarian?
You know, I've been a long time. I mean, I'm an old con activist, and believe me, I was there at impeach King Nixon rallies, and now it's impeach Obama rallies.
We needed that one.
I have no love for the I never had love for either or respect for either of this party, because I've seen them what they were. They're in bed together, and they're owned by and run by an establishment.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. I never voted for a Democrat or Republican president. I probably never will, unless one that really came in there, this time. I could consider voting for Trump if he goes third party. Yeah, but he'll probably go third party. Establishment's not you could talk all the good stuff you want. He's not going to be the Republican nominated. You know, he's not going to make it.
You talking about Trump?
Yeah.
Okay, now, now you know.
I'm not going to make it. Right, well, I mean, if I saw somebody super, even Coombs, I have my doubts about, because, you know, he has connections in a lot of deep.
Well, let me just say this, Ed.
Ed,
let me just say this real quick. Now I'm going to have to let you go because we're running out of time in this segment. But first of all, Trump signed the pledge today that he would not run as an independent. But I think that he fits your qualifications, even if he runs as a Republican, of being somebody who wouldn't be from, you know, the inside, if you will. That he would be, knowing how it works, though, he would know how to deal with them and, if you will, negotiate with them toughly. So at least I hope you'd consider voting for him. But you're absolutely right. You got all of us nodding our heads in the studio.
We are. Ed, you're totally right. It's a three-threaded rope, and they're all intertwined together.
Absolutely. And
I like how this we are. You sound like a Penn Stater. We are Penn State. It's football season coming.
That's right. True.
All right. That's Mike McBath, Rachel Cohen, me, Christopher Hart. Ed, thank you for the call. We appreciate you being out there. And we'll get to the other callers when we come back after the break. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Cynthia, David, hang in there. We'll get to you. American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time. I can never do it like Steve Tyler. All right, welcome to the show. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time. I think I already said that.
Chris, you sound like Burl Ives, not Steve Tyler.
Thank you very much. All right, we are coming to you from the alternate studio, not the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio, but you can still call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, and you can still tell him you heard about him on our show. His phone number is 407-678-3399, and please don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. All right, Nicholas Cicero is on the battle bridge, but the phone lines are, as usual, up and running. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me today is Mike McBath and Rachel Cohen. And before we move any further, I want to wish Rita, my dear, very dear friend, one of my very dear friends, a very, very happy birthday. So happy birthday to you, Rita.
Happy, happy birthday, Rita. That's it.
I love it. I'm sure she did, too. She's a faithful listener every night, along with Rosalie. All right, so thanks for being with us. That, of course, was Mike McBath. And just to review the first part of the show, Mike's got an exquisite idea for a new T-shirt.
Well, you know, Chris, we've been major advocates. And as you know, this is taking fire all over the country. Those T-shirts that says Hillary for prison 2016 with red, white, and blue. And then it says or sooner. But what they have to do now is scratch out the 2016 and put in 15. But these are actually going up now on billboards all over the place, which is great to
see. Yeah.
But, you know, we're always thinking ahead because times are changing, things mutate. Our next T-shirt should be, now let's think about it, don't act stupid. We have Joe Biden for that.
I think that's
going to be big. Don't you?
We got to get a hold of Scott Miller tonight.
I know. Get a hold of Scott. Tell him to trademark it and let's roll. Because I think he's coming. And I think it's very appropriate, don't you?
Oh, yes.
We got Joe Biden for that.
Indeed, indeed. All right, some other news that we went over in the first hour, and thanks for being with us during the second hour here of the show. We will be with you the full 2 hours, 2 hours tonight. The Rays are off. But Donald Trump has signed up the pledge to support the GOP candidate, whoever that may be. And, of course, he can now expect that same support from anybody else who signs that pledge. And some of the primary states evidently are going to require that the candidates sign that pledge to be on the ballot. He also gave a press conference after he had his meeting at the Trump Towers, where Reince Priebus came to see him.
Right.
And he treated Reince royally, and they had a good meeting, evidently. Trump signed the document, then came out and gave a very presidential press conference. And the polls are out again today. All new polls out today once again show him up and up significantly and double digits over the other candidates.
There is some good news out from the Clintons.
And?
You know, it sounds like there's not always good news. Bill Clinton has provided some soothing advice to his wife. He pointed out to her that Nelson Mandela actually went to jail before he became president.
So it can be
comforting,
done.
Very comforting.
It can be done.
I can see her getting fired up over that. Do you think she'll be wearing orange at the next press conference?
Yeah. And we spoke a lot of the hour about the world that Barack Obama is going to be leaving the next president. We talked mostly about foreign affairs. We'll get to domestic affairs here in just a moment. As Rachel has pointed out, this puts Israel in a very, very bad position, where they are almost going to have to be forced to take matters into their own hands. And I'm not putting words in your mouth, am I?
No, it's going to be a forced preemptive strike, and that's coming down the pike.
All right. We've got some callers on the line, and one of them happens to be Cynthia Grace, who is a great friend of Rachel Cohen.
She is my historian.
Cynthia, thanks for being with us tonight.
It's very comforting.
And you'll have to turn your radio down.
I've got it.
There you go. Thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. You have to come in and be on the show with us again sometime.
I would love that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Rachel had mentioned that I had gotten back from Israel yesterday. Still a little bit of jet lag. But anyway, I was so excited of what I learned, and I want to tell your viewers, if in fact that is a great price for a trip to Israel, and so they really should consider it. In my case, I realized I can't be inactive. I have to be proactive. Therefore, I am pro-Israel. And those of us that are pro-Israel, now is the time to show it, either by going there and sharing with them. The conservatives there do not have the representation that everyone else has. It, of course, is left-leaning, just like our country. And they get very little representation. And they're considered kind of, you know, strange and wacko and that kind of thing, too. I'm not saying by everybody, but we're suffering under the same situation that they are there. So I think we can identify with that. But my trip was to make connections and to understand the political situation and to encourage them. And it was a wonderful trip. And I do encourage anybody that has that leaning to really consider it, because they do need our support.
I'm glad you said that. What Cynthia is saying is your travel agent needs to really be out there, because that is a great fee to get over to Israel with the flight and the taking care of. What the price was, starting at $2,700.
Right.
Yeah.
You cannot. That is a great.
For 10 days. Right.
Yeah, that's a package
all
to
expenses.
That
included.
Includes airfare.
I know.
All
that's an awesome package. So we'll
you
promote
stay at the
that.
Hotel 8, or where do you
airfare?
Don't even say that.
Airfare from, I think, Newark, but then she can get you to Newark for a round trip ticket to there for like $300. So, yeah, Merrilee Vacation Travel Planners is going to be.
That still is awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage, of course, those that have been there, you can talk about it. You can see it on TV. You can even, you know, you've seen documentaries, the whole thing. But I was asked what my highlight was. And on Friday evening at the Shabbat time there, I took a cab to the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And the sight and the sounds and the it was I imagine the closest thing of maybe being at Mount Sinai when Moses was there.
Well, she gets pretty emotional about this. Are you okay?
Like that in my life, and I know it transported me to a whole different level.
That's a common expression that I hear from people who come back from there. That it's a spiritual, if you will, experience that they're touched in a way that you just can't see on TV or hear people talk about. You have to experience it.
It is a life-changing event, and so I do encourage people. They are very joyful people.
Even sitting here in studio with Chris and with Mike, the question has come off the microphones about the Jewish people that are liberal here in the U.S. I'm telling your listeners that over there in Israel, where I lived, there's liberal latte drinking people on every corner who
I don't drink Starbucks.
Who are?
That are just as liberal there,
right.
And we go just as nuts going, have you lost your mind? Do you have any fiery neurotransmitters?
No. Well, that's a good transition for the next call. But Cynthia, thanks for calling, and I look forward to having you back in the studio soon, okay?
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for the comments and the kind words for our sponsor, Marilee of Vacation Travel Planners. But it is a perfect setup for David, who wants to talk about the Jewish vote. David, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
What a wonderful segue.
Thank you,
Especially since your guest on the show today could be the one that could finally answer this for me. It's always been a quandary for me in that you have this president on tape with Vladimir Putin back in his first term where he's saying, you know, you think, talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, you think he's a pain in the butt. I have to deal with the, you know what, on a day-to-day basis. Just let me get through this election and I'll be able to help you however I can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going all the way back before Carter, all that, it's always been the Republicans that stand up for Israel. The Democrats are always negative Israel. They're always going to help out the Arab states in the area. And I just don't understand what is the I've heard one definition in my lifetime or one reason why the American Jewish vote would go Democrat time and time again, and that's that they view the Christian vote as being as strong or as ardent and as strong believer-wise as maybe the Muslim vote, and it's better to vote for a party that doesn't believe in anything because that wouldn't be a risk.
Well,
that's the closest I've ever gotten.
Well, that Rachel, would you like to respond to that?
David, what a great call and caller, and I appreciate you even posing a question like that. Just remember at the DNC convention where the Democrats booed the very mention of God, the title God, and Jerusalem being the capital of Israel.
Right.
They were booed. So I don't know how any Jew that has half a brain, maybe Ben Carson removed the other half, could vote with people that don't even believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. I think what you said, because for years and centuries that the Christian right, they have thought we're against the Jews. It's only today, in the last several years, that the Jew and the Christian have formed what had always been meant to be, which was brotherhood. You know that. Years ago, it was always, the Jews did this, the Christians.
Right.
But now they're melded. I can't turn on TBN that I don't see a menorah or mezuzah. So now, today, more Christians and Jews are aligned. But let me tell you something. It is the Christian that supports the state of Israel, not the American Jew.
You know, one thing, I always kid around, but I think there's something to it. I call many of these American Jews who voted for Obama not once, but twice, Kardashian Jews. I mean, really.
I mean,
how could you be loyal to the faith and everything else?
This is a phenomenon that you have to understand, David, about all liberals, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Catholic, whatever their persuasion is. They are always liberal first.
Over
whatever their religious or other persuasions are. Because liberalism, if you think about it, is in and of itself not just, well, it's a religion of its own.
Right.
It's like this global warming nonsense. They have replaced God because they don't think he ever existed or doesn't exist now or whatever. And so they got to take his place. So liberalism is the oracle of knowledge, if you will, that they always look to first. Religions, that's just something you do on the weekends. And that's just a sort of a business networking thing. They don't really live according to the religion. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
David,
but how can they have it both ways? And that they do, in as far as my life, most practicing Jewish people do. They do honor and go by all the beliefs and all
but then they
can remember and be abhorrent to the part, you know, with Germany and all that end of it, but then they don't stand with the motherland.
No, they don't. They go through the motions. They go through the motions, but they really don't have the tie to Israel. They may be Jewish, but they're not tied to Israel. Once again, their purpose in life is to be a good liberal first and foremost, and everything else comes second to that. And once again, it's not just a Jewish thing. It cuts across all religions. Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are Catholics,
uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So it's once again, with liberals, liberalism comes first because in their mind, all religions, really, I think, in the liberals' mind, are for the not so bright.
Well, my last statement is just to your guest Rachel is this: I've never been there, but I have spoken to people from Israel that have been over in the States, and my takeaway from the conversation is it's nothing like talking to an American Jewish person.
In the fact that they love the state of Israel?
If you talk to them regarding politics, whether you talk to them regarding their way of life, the things that are important to them.
Look, over in Israel, the people that actually believe in the motherland and live there do take the Shabbat, the Sabbath, very seriously. But remember, it's only the size of a postage stamp when you look at what's surrounding them, David. And right. I know the people that are sitting in house with us and listening have to understand it's the size of a gnat surrounded by 25 Arab countries. And at any moment, it could get squelched. And the people that live there are just trying to live day to day to have a life for their kids and a normal family life.
And we just gave them the right to have a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Hey, David, thanks for the call.
Thank you, David.
David, have you got any Roxy Pacifics yet?
Do I have any what?
Roxy Pacifics.
Are you okay, babe?
This is great. This is great stuff. I'm serious. It's for your skin, cuts, burns, scrapes, chronic conditions, you name it. If you don't have any of it yet, stay on the line.
Even for animals.
Absolutely.
Pets.
It's safe to use on children, animals, old folks, young folks, you name it. It's great stuff.
You try it in a martini.
And it works.
No, don't do that. Really.
But I use it on my throat sometimes.
Really?
It's a little sore.
Well,
absolutely.
Maybe instead of vermouth, I might go to that.
David, I'm serious. Stay on the line. Give Nick your information, and we'll get you a bottle of that stuff, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And once again, bye-bye. Folks, it is great stuff. It does work. Roxy Pacifics. You can get it at skinfix.us. So fix your skin by going to skinfix.us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more callers on the line, and we got a lot to do, so don't go away.
You got to keep them separated.
All right, we're back. That's right, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries, where we separate fact from fiction and the truth from the lies. All right, we got another caller on the line. Let's take this call right now. Mike, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Excellent. Yourself?
Awesome, always. Thank you. Hey, now, I wanted to piggyback on your last couple callers. My in-laws are Jewish, right? And six years ago, my father-in-law told me not to tell my son, who was five, that Obama was a liar. And I was like, okay, how is this your business? Anyway, so we moved beyond that. And Then I told him that Obama hated Israel. He goes, no. No, he doesn't. We have things, you know. And then I said, no, Iran wants to destroy Israel, and Obama's, I think, on board with that. And he goes, no. And then he says, that could never happen here. And I freak out when Jewish people tell me something could never happen, especially when it starts cycling into the genocidal madness that the world goes into against the Jewish people every 50 to 100 years.
Yeah.
And so that kind of disturbed me. I think I don't believe President Obama is a Muslim. Absolutely not. He's a Shiite Muslim. And he wants them to get the bomb so he can declare martial law and hold on to his power.
Well,
I don't think that's extreme thinking. Well, it's happened before.
Well,
so.
Yeah, well, certainly it's not extreme thinking. I don't believe it's extreme thinking. But I don't think Barack Obama is a Muslim or a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu. He's an atheist. This is a narcissistic, arrogant Marxist.
Well, he's
and
an
Marxist,
Obamist.
Right. And basically, he's too, in his mind, he's too smart for religion. You must remember what Marx said about religion. Religion is the opiate of the people. Exactly.
Right.
And so he's too smart to partake of that particular opiate, right?
You know, too, is Chris, when we're talking about this nuclear relationship with Iran, I'm always amused by many people when they say, well, you know, no one would ever use a nuclear weapon. And you go, well, who do you think was the first people to use one?
Yeah.
And they don't, well, you know, a lot of them don't even know that. Isn't that pathetic?
Didn't he just apologize to Japan, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also, at the time, and even the people of Japan knew this, we would have lost 1 million people, the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
They would have lost 6.
Yeah.
So
we
saved countless lives.
Right.
And now it's rewritten that we're the bad guys. We should never have done it. Hell, I still would have used tactical or neutron bombs or whatever to shake the Middle East into the 21st century.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, history is always a great template. And after we did that in World War II, we said, okay, you're not going to have an Army, Navy, or Air Force anymore. They said, okay, we're going to run your government. They said, okay, oh, by the way, your emperor is not a god. And they said, okay.
It changes the whole dynamic. You're absolutely right about that. Listen, Mike, I'm up against the break. It's a hard one again. But thanks for calling.
That was a great call.
It's an excellent call. And I want Rachel to make some comments about it after the break. And then we got some football business to talk about tonight, too. Big court decision today.
Oh, I know.
And some
Mr.
decisions,
Brady.
And
I know.
Some decisions to be made on the field tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be for the Tebow fans. Yeah. Some interesting. The night's the night, so get by your TV set because it might be adios permanently. We'll see.
We shall see. All right, when we come back, you'll have more of the American Adversaries Drive Time on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. But please don't go away.
Find out what's going on in America. Check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
All right, and away we go with this last half hour of the show. All right, you are welcome to give us a call at 407-774-8255 before we get back to the show. By the way, we have Rachel Cohen in the studio with us today. Of course, Mike McBath, chairman of the board, and we're going to talk some football business here. But real quickly, I would like to ask you one more time, or maybe I'll do it again before the show is over, but at least one more time tonight, to go to am660theanswer.com and take the Dreams Come True survey or become an answer seeker. And the reason I ask you is they want to know what your favorite show is. They would like to know your feelings about the programming here on the station and, of course, what your favorite show is. And we'd love to have you put our show in there. Put in Rachel's name. Put in Mike's name. My name. Just put one of our names in there with the American Adversaries because we want to shake them up at headquarters. Whoever's, you know, commissioned this survey, we want them to be wondering and scratching their head if they don't already know who in the world are these American Adversaries that so many people responded that they are their favorite show on our survey. So please, tonight is the last night. You have until midnight. And that's if you will, the bad news. The good news is you will be automatically entered into a drawing. Somebody is going to win $5,000. And I would love for that somebody to be one of you in our listening audience.
Chris, could I enter more than one time? You know, like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, you can come up with different names, like Tony Wiener. You know, Tony Wiener, you know, he's got Carlos Danger.
This could be a big night for me.
So please, go to am660theanswer.com, take the Dreams Come True survey, and please put in American Adversaries, one of our names, or both, where it asks who your favorite show is or your favorite host. All right, so once again, thanks for doing that if you have, and thanks for doing it if you intend and are going to do it. And if you win that $5,000, we certainly hope you will enjoy that as well. All right, and spread it around to some of our sponsors. That would be nice, too.
Very nice.
All right, before we get to the phone lines, and then we want to get some football, we had intended to talk about the domestic situation in the United States. But one thing that's perfectly clear that the phone callers have been pointing out, that it's certainly with the domestic situation, Barack Obama has been an extremely divisive figure. Has he not been, Rachel?
Yes, he continues to be. He is the master divider. Everything that he does separates all the people from each other, and this is his purpose.
I was getting ready to ask that. Is that his role to play? In
Certainly.
Other words, did history sort of call up Barack Obama, if you will?
Yes, and it was the wrong number.
Beachwood 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. You can call me anytime.
All right. Well, that's very well put. Let's go to Diane. Diane, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Yourself?
I'm great.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Rachel. I'm so glad. It's God's providence that you're on the show tonight. There's a National Day of Prayer called for tomorrow for the Houston officer that was slain, whacked, massacred. And all the churches, well, thousands of churches are going to open up their doors at 12 o'clock. And if everybody gets on their knees at noon to pray for our men in blue, women in blue, whatever, and our military, that would be awesome. And hopefully, you know, pray a hedge of protection against them.
And this goes right to something Rachel wanted to discuss because it cuts right to her personal experiences.
Diane, first of all, I'm so glad you called. I do not know her, but I want to meet her. I know she's a listener.
She'll be at the Sketty Eaton conference.
I'll be there, too.
Rachel,
I'll be there with my bib on.
And you're going to be in it.
Yep.
Now we got
They've got a baby
a
plate for me.
For you.
Yep. Angel hair, of course.
That's right. Capellini.
But, Diane, I was raised, my father is deceased, blessed memory, but he was a police officer who continued on to law school. And when he was dealing with the criminal aspect, he wanted to pursue his career so he could prosecute them because he knew from the ground up what he was looking at. And I'm telling you, today, they are literally tying police officers' hands behind their back.
Absolutely.
I am so tired of hearing somebody was unarmed. Unarmed means you have no arms, because if you have two arms connected, anything is a weapon. I don't care if it's a fist. I don't care if it's a shard of glass. Those police officers every day go out and try. Their job is not just to arrest. Their job is to prevent crime. How can you prevent crime if you can't even approach anybody? It's called profiling. Well, yes, we're supposed to profile if somebody acts like a thug. And you know, it's funny that supposedly Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. A rap sheet matters too. Oh, if somebody's got a rap sheet as long as their arm, I'm tired of them turning into a cherub right before our eyes on the news.
Oh, well, they'll be a doctor or lawyer by the time it's over. You know that.
I know.
Sure.
They put like a grade school picture of somebody with a cap and gown that, believe me, that's even Photoshopped.
That was terrible.
It's ridiculous. But I so sincerely thank you for the call, because my heart goes out to these downed soldiers and downed police officers, because they are our servants. I don't know why they go to work. I really don't know why. It's not for the pay scale.
And
that's exactly right. Our son is a cop out in Denver, Colorado, which has gotten really insane.
And
he said people are actually following them.
Keeping an eye on
it. The day in the paper, though, there was an article about recruiting is very difficult for the profession. Understandable.
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they want a police officer to be a psychologist, a counselor, everything but somebody to prevent and take down criminals. I have, and I've said it before, and I'm sitting here with my guys here, I have no mercy on criminals. None. I don't care. Put them in an electric chair. If they kill a cop, they go straight. They get a free pass to the electric chair. I'll pull the plug and I'll eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich while I'm doing it.
Well, they say we don't even know how they even got in the jail.
Yeah. I know. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So releasing a lot anyway. Oh, yeah. And so you'll get a lot more opportunities for a repeat.
Hey, you want to get
Isn't
out of
that great? We'll have a repeat.
Yep. If you want to get out of jail, just convince them that you're here illegally from another country.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Diane, you say that's tomorrow at noon at churches all around the country?
That's right.
Okay. All
we
right.
will be
bell,
praying.
Down the alarm, get on your knees, no matter where you are, standing, sitting, at work, just
do it.
Just do it.
All right.
And may God watch after your son.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Diane.
You. Love you, guys. Thank
love you, too.
Thanks,
all right.
Diane. All righty. Good night. All right. Let's go to Stan. Stan, thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, Chris. First of all, I want to say how much I appreciate Rachel's intellect and wisdom. And my comment is Israel and Egypt are combating Islamo's satanic state already in the Sinai, as I understand it. So they would
That's
be,
right.
it seems to me they would be natural allies to go after Iran.
This is why I love this show, because the audience, you should have something where people vote for the best intelligent audience, because these listeners are over the top. This is top shelf. I appreciate you saying that about me, and I appreciate you bringing up of Israel and Egypt, because it's a fact.
Well, Israel, Egypt, Saudi Arabia are all re-looking at their relationship in regard to what's going on in the Middle East. So you're absolutely right about that, Stan.
And America's back in Iran.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we have the dancing queen as our leader from behind. All right. Thank you, Stan.
Stan, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Great call. Thank you, Stan. We appreciate you being out there. And so we've the next president is going to certainly
you
have
wonder,
his
I mean,
plate full.
I would think that Egypt actually could align with Israel.
They are, but
for one cause.
But you know who else they're aligning with? And this goes for Saudi Arabia too. Russia.
Oh, Russia. Yeah, they're
Russia.
In there. Well,
because
they're pitching product everything. Right.
Nature, as my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, likes to say, nature abhors a vacuum. Exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It will not allow it. Something will fill it. When we move out, the bad guys move in. That's the way the world works. It just simply does.
Well, we only have, a year and a quarter left of this bozo.
If we can make it that long.
Yeah, hopefully we'll all be around.
Like hyperventilating. This is like a workout.
Oh.
Well, there's
an anger session. This is ugly, Mike.
I know there's a few people out there hyperventilating because it appears as though Tom Brady is off the hook, at least for now.
I know. The day, actually, the judge came out, made his ruling, and Tom Brady is off the hook at those four games that he was suspended for. I'm a little disappointed, though, because
now, real quick, the NFL has appealed the judge's decision.
Yeah, right. They are going to appeal it, which would be expected.
Yeah, but,
you know.
But why bother? I mean,
but the point is, for four games, I was hoping it'd just be two because they play the Bills the second game, and that's the team I played for. So I was hoping that, you know, maybe we could get by.
You were hoping to get a little spanking, not a big one.
I know, but and you know what? And it's good for Tom. And again, the question on the whole issue is, what always concerned me was, why did the team that was had the problem with the balls, they never really screamed about it. And most of the public didn't know, but the second half when they found the balls the first half, what happened was the second half, the Patriots did better with the regular inflated balls.
The regulation balls.
I know.
Right.
And the NFL spent $3 million on this issue. What a waste of money. And now they're going to appeal it. But why are they going to appeal it? Well, there's two reasons. One, Goodell is really embarrassed about this because of all the time, investigative money, the media, everything else, and he loses. And then the other part is the Player Association, where the problem really was the Player Association back in the 2011 collective bargaining agreement did not have a basic arbitration clause where we would go to arbitration, we would have a neutral group. They never had that. It was, Goodell, you make the decision. Well, guess what, buddy? I don't think you guys are going to be happy with all the decision he makes, particularly with suspensions unpaid. So now they sue, and then the NFLPA obviously joins with them. So, you know, in this issue, I think they're crazy. Now,
I take it you enlightened them at one of the recent meetings?
We were up there in Chicago. What a place to have your union meeting, right? Chicago. Do you think I fit in? Don't think so.
I mean, but I'm sure you enlightened
but
them.
But we always like to express ourselves.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But,
right.
But I am happy, actually, for the Patriot fans and everything, because, you know, it's a game. They all forget the other part about it. You know, this is a game.
Uh-huh.
All right? And the fact that the other team never really complained about it was always amused me when everybody was so set. I said, why wasn't a team that lost, why wouldn't they be complaining about it? And they knew in advance that this took place.
Well, you know, so, that game was played on a Sunday night. We were in here doing our show. Johnny Guns, who was on the show that Sunday night with us.
Right.
Huge Indianapolis Colts fan. And he had his laptop there, and he was watching the game on the laptop as we were doing the show, and he would periodically give us a little update on the show. And he was, as he was calling the plays, he was going, now watch what this Colt does. And he was talking about how the Colts
right.
blew the game.
Yep.
So,
yeah, well, then they lost the game, man.
The Colts gave the game, in his opinion.
Right.
And Johnny, if you're listening, I hope I'm not overstating this, but certainly Johnny was upset with the way the Colts played that night. Not that
Chris,
there was anything.
I'm a little concerned about Johnny Guns.
Yeah.
The Bills open up with the Colts. That's the game I'm going to next week up in Buffalo. I mean, Johnny, get with it. You know, get to the modern ages, buddy, because you're going down the week after this.
All right. Well, we'll see.
And, you know, the other NFL news, which I think is very relevant to, you know, because there's a huge following of Tim Tebow.
Uh-huh.
And Tim Tebow is the type of guy I like to see on any NFL team because of the character of the individual. You know, he sets the right direction for the team. I mean, I would do anything to have a guy like that on the team. Now,
and let's face it, he gives the NFL a little bit better face, if you will.
Yeah, let's say a better image.
He raises the bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of them are in the bar. He raises the bar. You know, that's a unique way to put it. But, I mean, on a serious nature with the fellow, the night that the Jets play the Eagles, I think it's on TV. But what the situation will be is that he's going to play half. And Barkley, who is the third team, they only keep three.
He's fourth.
And there's
he's
four.
Third. Yeah.
And Barkley starts off the first half. Tebow comes in the second half. And I think Chip Kelly, the head coach of the Eagles, made it very clear, whoever performs the best stays, the other goes. My concern is for Tebow, if he goes, he's probably gone.
For good.
Because I'm not sure anybody else would have the right type of offense. And he did get to play in four games. And I'm crossing my fingers that he has an exceptional game. I think the other only way out for him, which could happen in its own way, it's lucky the guy in front of him, Bartley, has absolutely performed great, you know, which is the worst thing you want to see, the guy you're trying to beat out for the three preseason games. Maybe somebody they trade him, you know, and then move him up. So if he can perform tonight, and I think it starts at 7:30 tonight, so if you're a Tebow fan, which there are a massive amount of them around here, you know, turn on the TV because it might be the last time you see him in an NFL uniform.
Right.
I hope not, but we'll see.
All right. College football, I believe, kicked off about 50 minutes
UCF
ago.
UCF kicked off at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. So when we come back,
the score is.
I don't know. When we come back from the break, though, we'll talk a little college football. So please don't go away. And please come and join us on the 28th at Cafe Positano for our spaghetti eating challenge. And if you think you can put up a challenger, let us know. All right. So once again, you are.
Yeah. I think it'll be good to have Rachel.
She's
going to come out with a surprise, I think.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
It's going to be a surprise to me, too.
All right. We'll be right back. More surprises to come.
Professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries. College football season kicks off tonight. This is my favorite, most favorite time of the year. Fall and college football just kind of go together. I'm in the studio with Mike McBath and Rachel Cohen, who I just had to separate because Mike McBath, of course, played for the Buffalo Bills. Rachel Cohen comes from a family of Steelers, and she was bragging about all the Super Bowl rings the Steelers have. And
well, hey, Chris, the other
and the Bills
thing,
being going there four times.
The other
times.
Thing that concerns me about Rachel, when I was at Penn State, we used to always have a saying about the University of Pittsburgh. If you can't go to college, go to Pitt. And so, that's my last shot, Rachel. I'm burnt out. You know?
He will be out of commission for the next few shows.
All right, but once again, college football, my favorite time of year. I just love college football. And to me, there's no better form of sport entertainment. Maybe the WWE, but no, college football, yeah. Just for the enthusiasm, yeah. and the kids and the band and the cheerleaders, the whole thing.
No,
the whole
I don't package. Think there's a greater tradition you could do. I mean, wherever university you went to, if they have I like to go around. I've actually gone around, scouted with the Citrus Bowl and all those different things just to see all the beautiful campuses around the country. I mean, it's absolutely invigorating. You meet many wonderful people, educated people. And, you know, it's a different crowd than the NFL, that's for sure.
It's camaraderie.
Yeah, I mean, it is great. And when you went to the same university, like as we were talking here, Penn State, we average 105,000 a game. And, I mean, they have like 800 acres around the stadium. The clouds roll through the stadium while the game's being played and everything. It's just absolutely a scenic. And, you know, the leaves are all red and yellow. And it's just, you can't ask for more tradition. But maybe that's why they draw 105,000, you know, where most people struggle a little bit. But you know, the night's the opening night, Chris. And like at 6 o'clock, UCF, I guess, kicked off. And
FIU.
We're hoping that right now they're ahead.
Hopefully.
I don't know the score, but I believe that UCF is a well-coached team. The guy does a great job with the graduation rate of the players, which is the most important thing
that was always big
that
with
these universities should get.
Yeah. And O'Leary, he's kind of an old-school coach.
Oh, he is an old-school. Yeah. Not a kind of. This guy's as old-school as it gets. But, you know, he wants graduation. He expects the most out of you on the field. You know, this is a business. You know, you go to class, and if you don't go to class, you're not going to be around. And that's the way it should be. I don't like all these little cushions. And I don't even like it. Like Joe Paterno used to say, college football is for college students. I don't like bending the rules all the time. And, well, let's change it this and let's make an exception here. And let's I don't like that.
Right.
If you can't play at that level, both academically and athletically, maybe you shouldn't be out on the field. And then I think it would change the game a little bit more. But this day and age, they bend it every direction possible to get some of these kids in.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, college football season's kicking off. Ohio State's number one ranked. Are they going to be number one at the end of the season?
Actually, I hate that because, you know, we play at Penn State, plays Ohio State, which took them to two overtimes last year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a quick answer. They opened up with Virginia Tech, who upset them. Last year in Virginia Tech, they're going to be playing them at Ohio State on the opening day.
Look for a blowout.
Ohio State is loaded, so sorry, Virginia Tech's not going to look very good. Now, tonight, TCU, which I can't believe this, they're ranked by many services number two, you know, but I have trouble believing that.
That's
but they play
Texas Christian.
They play Minnesota tonight on TV, so and that, I think it's at 9 p.m., and there's a group of games on television tonight. Then ranked number three, probably rightfully so, but they could be surprised. But Alabama, you know, Alabama's the third ranked, and they open up with Wisconsin, which is a pretty difficult game. It's an indoor game, you know, in Texas. But if it were outdoor and we're down south, I'd definitely go with Alabama because it's too hot. If you're from Wisconsin, good luck, buddy, going from, 70 degrees to about 100. But, you know, obviously I would pick Alabama.
You think Florida State's going to be in there at the end?
Yeah, I think Florida State, you know, they're breaking in this quarterback, Golson, the fellow that came over from Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. One thing, though, I'll tell you, when you take transfers, and this can really work against you, and that's one reason a lot of universities won't do that, is because sometimes they come in, they've been at another school. Will they fit in with the players you have personality-wise? You know, and, you know, there's a lot of problems. But obviously his talent was so good, but he had problems at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So it looks to me like he's getting the nod. And, you know, I think Florida State will certainly be in the top 10, Will they be in the top four? Not sure.
What about the Gators?
Oh, that's another story.
A rebuilding year.
It always sounds like that. Well, I sadly enough think the Gators will probably go 7-5, and I think that's pretty generous because they got to break in a new quarterback
and they got a tough schedule
and new new coaching staff, everything. So I'm a fan of the Gators, but I think it's going to be another difficult year for them. But and also another game tonight, Michigan. With Harbaugh.
Yep.
Coach. And I can't believe, though, he left the NFL. I mean, I would much rather coach in the NFL than college because you don't have to do the recruiting. I would have a lot of trouble telling some kid in high school how great he is when in reality most of them will never play. But that would be a tough one for me to swallow.
Yeah.
But Harbaugh, this is his opening night, and Michigan plays Utah, and I'm going to pick Utah. How about that? Because I think he was left with a little bit of a shortage in the cabinet there, and Utah's pretty reasonable, and I'm sure Utah's licking their chops, and that's on tonight, too. So a lot of good games. Should be some fun.
Absolutely.
So we will see.
Rachel?
It gets everybody so ramped up when the season starts. I mean, because I was raised completely with football degenerates. That's all they talked about was sports.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and Rachel. It really does, though. It changes the total. I don't know if it's just the weather also.
Well,
I play
with a lot of degenerates.
But you know what I'm saying? So many people live and breathe for the fall, the first crisp air and the football season starts and everything changes. People actually get happier.
It does. It changes my attitude. I know that. All right.
I'm glad to see her. This is interesting. That's another family that they go bonkers. It is great. It's everything that you describe, she describes. Terrific.
All right. Well, we're out of time tonight. A lot of great phone calls. We appreciate that. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow night. Once again, a program note, we won't be here Sunday night or Monday night. We're going to take Labor Day weekend off and rest and rejuvenate, so to speak. Once again, also, though, tonight's the last night you can take the Dreams Come True survey and be entered into a drawing for $5,000. If you take the survey, please put in our name as your favorite choice of shows. And don't forget our spaghetti eating challenge. Be there on the 28th at Cafe Positano, and you can make a reservation there. Call them at 407-774-8080.
It might be two women. Rachel goes against
at
Wendy.
At least. We're working on more.
Ooh.
Yeah,
could be unique.
I'm on for the challenge.
Whoa.
You heard it, folks.
This could be big.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. It's going to be 3 weeks from Monday on the 28th. All right? Don't forget the Dreams Come True survey. Tonight's the last night. You have until midnight. So please get in on that, and hopefully you will win that $5,000. Rachel, thanks for being here.
I was so happy to sit in with you all.
We'll do it more. Mike, see
always
you next
a
week.
Pleasure. I'll be watching tonight the games.
You got it. Go Knights. Night, everybody.